64-year-old Gary Lavin was sentenced to 1 year jail and his company fined $1 million for failing to erect safety rails at a job site where a worker fell to his death.
Maria Jackson pled guilty to reckless endangerment of life.
The forklift accident and the load on the forklift was at height. It crushed a person.
It's the first time someone has received jail time for a work health and safety incident other than manslaughter.
Up until now, no one in Australia has gone to jail for breaching Australia's occupational health and safety laws. But by complete coincidence, over the last few weeks, two employers from different parts of Australia are now behind bars. In December, a magistrate in Gippsland, Victoria, sentenced Maria Jackson to 6 months jail. And just last week, a judge on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland sentenced Gary Lavin to 1 year's jail. Sam Jackson is an employment law expert with Spark Helmore. He acts for employers across Australia. He's no relation to Maria Jackson and was not involved in her case. Sam Jackson, can you confirm that these two prison sentences are indeed the first of their kind in Australia?
Yes, thanks, Damien. That's right. As far as we're aware at Spark Helmore, and as you say, we act in these matters across the country. Prior to these cases in the last 2 months, no individual has been sentenced to what we'd call a non-suspended prison sentence as a result of breaching OHS or WHS legislation across the country. So we talk about OHS legislation, which is occupational health and safety, and sometimes we talk about work health and safety, but really they're the same thing across the different jurisdictions. So we've had a number of suspended sentences, and as the grab at the start of the show mentioned, there's also been cases of what we'd call conventional criminal law manslaughter, where people have been prosecuted following workplace incidents by either the police or the local director of public prosecutions, and they've been sent to jail for breaching the Normal Crimes Act manslaughter.
We might come back to those manslaughter cases in a moment. Let's look at these two recent court cases. Here's ABC Radio on the Sunshine Coast.
64-year-old company director Gary Lavin has spent his first night behind bars after being found guilty of reckless conduct, which led to the death of a 62-year-old roofer, Farahira Tiamo, at a worksite in 2014. Lavin was sentenced to 1 year jail and his company fined $1 million for failing to erect safety rails at the site. During the trial, two witnesses gave evidence that Lavin had said the rails were too expensive. In handing down sentence, Judge Glenn Cash told the court Mr. Lavin's offence was the most serious of its kind.
So, Sam Jackson, what were the facts in this case that led the judge to say that this was the most serious case of its kind and impose a prison sentence on Gary Lavin, the director of this firm Multi-Run Roofing?
This case and the Maria Jackson case have one thing in common, and that is this concept of recklessness, which elevates these cases that would otherwise only apply or only have available a monetary penalty into the realm of possible prison sentences. My understanding from media reports on this case in Queensland was that Mr. Lavin's company had contracted with a principal contractor for about $300,000 worth of roofing works, and specifically in that contract included a $5,000 allocation for the installation of safety rails. The evidence at the hearing came out in front of a jury in the district court in Queensland that despite that $5,000 allocation, Mr. Lavin chose not to install safety rails and instead to instruct his workers to do the work on the roof by using harnesses and scissor lifts. Now, that may have been an appropriate risk control, but unfortunately, for unknown reasons, those risk control measures weren't put in place, and Mr. Tiamo and other workers were up on the roof without any risk control at all, without any fall protection. His Honour found that Mr. Lavin was motivated by money, and I think this element of recklessness comes in when someone understands the potential risks of what they're doing or what they're not doing. He didn't install the safety barriers. They understand the risk of their act or their omission, but they go ahead anyway, knowing that that might have serious consequences for someone's health or safety.
With their eyes wide open.
Correct, that's right. We understand that concept of recklessness. We use that word in everyday life quite a lot, but in the law it has a special meaning, and it's about this concept of appreciating both the risk and the consequence and going ahead anyway.
Coincidentally, last week's sentencing of Gary Lavin on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland comes just a few weeks after the very, very first imprisonment for breaches of occupational health and safety laws. And that was in the Latrobe Valley Magistrates Court in eastern Victoria in Gippsland, which recently sentenced 72-year-old Maria Jackson to 6 months jail for offences arising out of the workplace death of Robbie Blake. Here's a report from Mim Cook from ABC Gippsland.
Put it to the side on the ground, and then you can just pick it up with the bloody car as you're going through the blinking joint.
So,
well, I ended up, when I had three little kids and a husband that didn't like work, I started scrounging at the tip because I found it wasted and we had no bloody money. And we lived off the tip. 7 days a week I was down there scrounging with three little kids, and I'm proud of that.
This is Maria Jackson. She was interviewed for ABC Radio a few years back. If you're from South Gippsland, you'd have your own story about Maria.
And there's a lot of swapping going on now. Maria, how about if I swap you this? It keeps the things going. Because the next article that I've swapped, I might sell, where the article that I had might sit here for 2 or 3 years. Or a jar of jam and that. I've had women that come in here with a dozen jars of jam. In the respect, I hope that they get something cheap to save themselves a quid. I don't care. I still got to eat. And I'm not proud. I accept it.
Maria and her recycling emporium, just off the South Gippy Highway near Foster, are infamous. But among the bed springs, car parts, oil drums and rusty wire of Maria Jackson's vast metal junkyard, Foster local Robbie Blake has died. And now at the age of 72, Maria Jackson has been sentenced to 6 months jail. This is a statement from WorkSafe.
The court heard that the worker, who was in his 50s, was inside the bin removing scrap steel when Ms. Jackson lifted it with a forklift in February 2017. The bottom of the bin gave way, causing the worker to fall through. The bin and steel then fell on him. A WorkSafe investigation found that the bin was in very poor condition and that Ms. Jackson had never been licensed to operate a forklift. WorkSafe Health and Safety Executive Director Julie Nielsen said Ms. Jackson had shown an abhorrent disregard for the health and safety of people in her workplace.
The consequences for operating plant and equipment such as forklifts without a licence or the proper training were catastrophic,
Ms. Nielsen said.
When speaking to Foster locals, it seems Maria does things her own way. She's admired, feared, and there are mixed reactions to her 6 month sentence. John Davies runs the butchers in Foster. Maria's kids worked in his butcher shop.
Well, Maria was a larger than life personality, really. She ran what she liked to call a recycling emporium, took in anyone's junk and sorted it, everything from teapots to trucks, and tried to make a living out of it for over 40 years that I know of. And everybody knew her.
She did things her own way, is that right?
She was fiercely independent, but on the other hand, it worked for a long time. I think she had a stroke a couple of years ago and that really slowed her down.
Had the stroke affected her mobility?
I'm sure.
What do you know about the accident?
The forklift accident, and the load on the forklift was at height. It crushed a person.
Maria Jackson pled guilty to reckless endangerment of life. It's the first time someone has received jail time for a work health and safety incident other than manslaughter.
As a small business person, it's the worst nightmare that you could have if someone's injured or, in this case, been killed on your watch. I mean, you just can't imagine that. And so I guess, in a way, she's had to take the consequences of that responsibility. But on the other hand, someone that's over 70, it seems particularly harsh. And I'm sure she's suffered every day since the accident, just in a personal way.
Foster butcher John Davies, ending that report by Mim Cook from ABC Gippsland. Sam Jackson, hearing that report, what do you know about the case that made it so serious as to warrant a prison sentence?
Again, this case goes into that realm of what we call recklessness, recklessly engaging in conduct that may place another person at work at risk of serious death or injury. So Miss Jackson didn't have a forklift licence and was operating a forklift. That's pretty severe, but not in and of itself, that wouldn't probably constitute recklessness. But the fact that Mr. Blake was in the, as I understand it, inside the bin with the tines of the forklift 3 metres off the ground. The bin had a rusty bottom, and as I understand it, that's what's caused this incident to occur. The bottom of the bin has actually fallen out, and both Mr. Blake and the contents of the bin, which I imagine were all different sizes and weights of scrap metal, have fallen on him, causing these fatal injuries. So it's really at that absolutely egregious top end of the types of cases we see. I've certainly not been involved in a case in my practice that is quite that significant in terms of the conduct by Miss Jackson.
I guess we're talking about somebody who, she owns and operates the business. She's, if you like, responsible for the way the workplace operates, and she's actually operating the machinery which leads to the death. So if you like, her kind of involvement is very clear cut and unique. Universal, maybe.
Well, and there's two elements to it. As you quite rightly point out, not only was she the business owner, therefore had the ability to impact in terms of from high level resourcing, policies and procedures, work methods, had the ability to impact upon safety from that perspective, she was also actually undertaking the work. So in many respects, she could have been prosecuted as both the business owner and under her employee duties to take reasonable care for her own safety and reasonable care for the safety of others at the workplace. And we see that a lot more in businesses that are of a small nature, because it's more common for people with that level of oversight and management also to be on the tool, so to speak.
That leads to the question that are our laws much tougher on small businesses as opposed to, say, large corporations? I mean, where you have complex decision-making at different levels and it's easier to fudge or deflect responsibility.
I don't think it's correct to say that the laws are tougher or harsher on small businesses. It's much, in my experience, much less likely for incidents such as these two to have occurred in big businesses because they have such sophisticated and well-resourced approaches to health and safety. It's, I guess, a fact of life that a lot of small businesses, certainly not all, some say small businesses have extremely impressive approaches to health and safety, but some small businesses still have a much more cavalier attitude or approach to health and safety, which simply for a whole number of reasons, whether it be community expectations, corporate governance, commercial reasons, most big businesses, in my experience, simply don't have those sorts of attitudes anymore. They don't get away with it.
Sam Jackson, do you think community expectations are changing around workplace deaths? I understand that the Court of Appeal in Victoria recently had some pretty strong comments on this.
I think courts are getting tougher, both in Victoria and in other states, Damien. As you quite rightly point out, in 2016, the Victorian Court of Appeal handed down its decision in a case called DPP and Vibropile. And in that case, one of the things that the court was considering was the appropriateness of the sentences imposed on two companies.
And fines, presumably.
That's right, the fines that were imposed on two companies following a workplace fatality. The court held that the significant maximum penalties that are available under the OHS Act in Victoria, which is quite similar to the other states around Australia, which now sit at about $1.5 million per charge for a company in most cases, and in those cases involving recklessness that we talked about earlier, over $3 million in Victoria, they said that those maximum penalties demonstrate the seriousness with which these offences should be taken, and that the penalties that have been imposed previously may or may not have been appropriate, particularly in that case they were talking about. But we've also seen the court emphasising the importance of this concept of general deterrence. So fines or sentences have to be big enough to basically send the message to the wider community about the seriousness with which these crimes are meant to be treated with or seen to be treated with. So because of those two factors, they significantly increased the fines against the two companies in that case. And we have absolutely seen an appreciable trend in Victoria and particularly New South Wales of an increase in the fines that have been handed down in everything from the very serious cases involving serious injury or death all the way down to the sort of more run-of-the-mill cases that you see in the Magistrates Court where either no injury has occurred or very minor injury has occurred. And we've seen quite an appreciable increase in all the fines that are being imposed.
Indeed, workplace deaths are still all too common. I think in 2016 there were 182 workplace deaths around Australia. We also have, as we touched on earlier, manslaughter prosecution for workplace deaths. And indeed, last year in Queensland, an employer was jailed.
An electrical contractor has been jailed for 7 years over the tragic and preventable death of a young labourer electrocuted on a central
Jason Queensland was just shy of his 21st birthday when he was electrocuted while carrying a switchboard that came into contact with live wires.
Nathan Day was warned to fix electrical safety issues and after Jason Garrels was killed, tried to cover up his breaches.
Day was also convicted of perjury for lying about his cover-up at a 2015 inquest in Mackay. In sentencing, Justice Helen Boskill described Jason Garrell's death as both tragic and preventable and said Nathan Day made a choice to take on work that he clearly wasn't competent in or sufficiently skilled to do.
Sam Jackson, that was a prosecution there under the conventional criminal law. How unusual are those sorts of prosecutions?
Yeah, we haven't seen a large amount of those sorts of prosecutions over the years, and I think the Nathan Day case was a bit more complex because of those allegations of perjury as well.
The covering up.
That's right, the covering up. He was found to have lied to the coronial inquest that occurred following the incident. That made the prosecution probably more convenient, if for want of a better word, that the Director of Public Prosecutions ran the prosecution rather than WHSQ, the Queensland regulator. We've seen a few charges of manslaughter in recent years. Another employer or senior manager in Queensland to do with an incident that occurred at Eagle Farm, as I understand it, has been charged with criminal law manslaughter. And in the ACT recently, following a major incident that occurred at the Canberra Hospital, that was being redeveloped, a crane driver has been charged with straight manslaughter. Not industrial manslaughter, but the Crimes Act manslaughter in that territory too.
Well, let's talk about that distinction between conventional manslaughter and industrial manslaughter. The ACT, I think since 2003, and Queensland since I think 2017 or 2018, have something called industrial manslaughter, and they're actually part of the occupational health and safety legal framework.
Probably the biggest difference, and I should note that the ACT and Queensland provisions are different, but the biggest difference will be who will be prosecuting them. So if we look to Queensland, Work Health and Safety Queensland will be investigating and prosecuting any potential breaches of the new industrial manslaughter provisions in that state. And the standard or the straight criminal law manslaughter, as you'd be aware from any area, any prosecution, will be investigated by the police and will be prosecuted by the local director of public prosecution. So there's a difference from a practical sense. And then there will be different standards that will apply as well. Some prosecutions for manslaughter, for example, talk about the concept of criminal negligence, so breach of duty of care, but at a criminal level, whereas, as we've discussed today, traditionally, work health and safety prosecutions have been revolved around this concept of recklessness in the most serious cases.
And have there been any prosecutions in the ACT since 2003, 2004, or in Queensland in very recent times?
No, as far as we're aware, there hasn't been a single prosecution in the ACT since 2004, despite, as I said earlier, there being prosecutions for workplace-related incidents where they're prosecuted under the normal criminal law manslaughter. And in Queensland, no, since 2017, there hasn't been a prosecution. The matter that we were discussing earlier in Queensland, the incident itself occurred before those provisions commenced, so that option wasn't available to Work Health and Safety Queensland as an option.
Sam Jackson, Special Counsel with law firm Spark Helmore. And big thanks to Tara Cassidy from ABC Sunshine Coast and Mim Cook from ABC Gippsland for their reports on these two groundbreaking prison sentences.